And as you are, take your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm dropping stuff already. Go figure. So, I'm going to make an apology before I start. I have now determined that I am getting older, and I wear contacts. And normally, I can take my contacts, and I can see my Bible pretty well. But for some reason, over the last few months and year or whatever, there are times when I look down at the Bible or whatever it is I'm reading that has smaller print, and it just doesn't show up quite the same way. So I have reading glasses. I'm going to take them on and off because I'm not used to seeing them up looking out. That makes everything blurry. I guess that's normal. Haven't figured this whole thing out. So I'm not just playing with glasses tonight. I am going to use them for a reason. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I wanted to look tonight on the aspect of prayer, and particularly about a person of prayer. Hannah is a very interesting character when you come into the scripture. Of course, if you go into the history of who she was and how everything comes to be, of course, she's the wife of Elkanah, and Elkanah actually had two wives, which the Lord never condoned and never put out there. One man and one woman is always a great way to go and the right way to go. But that conflict came to be in that household because Peninnah had sons and daughters, but Hannah did not. So if you would, go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll go down in verse number 2, and it says, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? When you go through and you look at the history of this, we have this aspect of a conflict in the household, and you have Hannah here trying to overcome what became a harsh point of controversy between her. Of course, the controversy between her and Peninnah, but also the controversy between herself and her husband, Elkanah. And if you go down in verse number 11, it says, and I'll get these on here for a second so I can find that one. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Let's pray as we open up and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Dear Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to be among God's people. Dear Lord, we do pray that as we look at the aspect of prayer, and particularly with Hannah as our example this evening, that you would just guide our thoughts, guide each and every aspect as we look at your word. Dear Lord, thank you for the examples that you give us and help us to take those examples and be able to apply the principles and the concepts that you would have for us this evening into our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you look at this, you have this aspect of Hannah being burdened about everything that's going to happen. And when you come down to verse 7, we see that tormentor, Peninnah. She was in a circumstance where she had no child, and her tormentor would use it to deride her and torment her constantly. It's a situation that created great hurt in her life. So much so that when you look at this, it almost appears that Hannah is in a state of a depression. She's not able to eat. She's not able to function within her relationships. She's not able to carry on normally. She's constantly weeping. And you look at this aspect and you think, wow. Okay, this was a huge effect on this young woman and the aspect of her daily life. Inasmuch as it affected her relationship even with Elkanah and her aspect of being able to help him and work with him and keep everything going. And the truth is, the circumstances of life can definitely affect us. And not just in the daily walk, but they can affect us spiritually and physically and emotionally. There are times when we can succumb to the pressures that others impose on us, or the troubles and circumstances around us, so that they become a stumbling block to every aspect of our life. And as we see Hannah, we see that as part of what she's facing. We see her at a point in her life where she's totally frustrated. She has no clue what to do or how to get about it. Now, the hard part of this, when you go back to verse number 7, it says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut her womb. And as he did so year by year," we're not sure. The Bible doesn't say how many years this has been going on. But year by year gives us the thought that this wasn't something that just happened last year. It's not something that just happened once. But this was something that happened over and over and over again to her. And as it happened, it became more burdensome and more troubling. So we come down to verse number 9. And it says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Hannah determined that her one avenue that was left to her at this point was just to pour out her soul to the Lord. Now, when you think about Hannah, when you think about this family, they were a spiritual family. They went up to Shiloh year after year. They were there offering the sacrifices. I don't think this is the first time that Hannah prayed. I don't think this is the first time that Hannah had sought the Lord for the Lord to give her a child. I think the circumstances at this point had reached such a place that Hannah was totally devastated. And she had decided that something had to give, and her only recourse was to go back and just pour out her soul to the Lord. You know, there are times in our life when we come to that place. There are times when the circumstances of life and the conditions of life and the troubles of life just seem to overwhelm us. But the blessing that comes from this is the fact that we can go to the Lord. We can come back to our God, who knows our circumstances and knows exactly what we're going through. When you look at this, it says that she went into the temple and she's pouring out her heart to God. And it says that Eli was also there in the temple. And the amazing thing as you go through this is what Eli actually thought of Hannah to begin with. Go down to verse number 12, and it says, "It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." So Eli is sitting there on his little stool there by the post of the temple. And the Bible says that Eli was a fairly heavy man, so he's probably supporting himself and sitting back and watching the goings on in the temple as everything was going on. And he sees this young lady over here, and he notices that she's speaking without making a sound. Her lips are moving. He could tell that something was going on, but he's like, "Are you kidding me? Here is this young lady, and she's coming to the temple drunk. And she's over there just laid out on the floor, and she's drunk in the house of the Lord." And it says, "And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaining grief have I spoken hitherto." Hannah says to Eli, "Listen, I'm pouring out my heart to God." It's a prayer of relief. She's asking for God to do something to relieve the tension, to relieve the pressures, to relieve the torment that she is in. Eli doesn't know what's going on, so Hannah informs him, "Listen, this is where I am. This is my life at the moment, And I'm letting God know that I need him to do something. I need for God to act on my behalf. You know, there's a lot of times where we also get to that point. But the amazing thing is we have a God that wants to resolve our problems. We have a God that can deal with our issues. We have a God who is enough. The God that is more than enough. He tells us to cast our burdens on him, and he can give rest into our souls. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Hannah was here, and she's pouring out her heart to God, and it is effectual and it's fervent. She's letting God know exactly where she is. You know, when you look at this, I have to come back and think, you know, how's my prayer life? Here's Hannah, and it's obvious that she's a spiritual lady. It's obvious that she did what God commanded her to do continually. And yet, when you look at her burden and how she brought it to the Lord, what do we find? We see that effectual, fervent prayer as part of what she's doing and seeking the relief for her soul. How's my prayer life? Am I at a position in my life that I could come before God and pour out my soul? Am I in the right relationship with God that I could have that access to his throne? He wants us to. He wants us to be able to come boldly, the Bible says, unto the throne of grace. He wants to be there for us. He wants to be able to hear that prayer of relief. Now, here's the amazing thing. Hannah pours out her heart to God, and it came from a heart of belief. I like making things kind of rhyme there. You know, a prayer of relief, a heart of belief. It makes it fun as you're going through because I can remember it easier. It's just part of the fun. You know, every preacher has their own things that they do that helps them to remember those parts. So when you look at this, go down to verse number 17. And it says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Eli, recognizing her heartfelt prayer, and what does he do? He's like, I understand where you're coming from, and I'll pray and ask God to grant the request that you poured out your soul for. And verse number 18, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now this is amazing to me. I'm just of the personality type that it's easy to recognize when I have troubles and easy to recognize when things aren't going the way that I want. And then, you know, I recognize that I need to pray and I need to give that to the Lord and allow the Lord to work through that circumstance. But then it's not always easy to leave it there. You know, sometimes it's easier in my own mind and in my personality to continue to worry about that problem, or to wonder how the Lord's going to take care of it, or to even find ways that I think I could take care of it, and I could help the Lord to make this happen. Have you been there? Okay, I'm not the only one. Okay, thank you. That helped. Even a couple people that recognize that. So here I am, and I'm working through this. And a lot of times, I don't just give it to the Lord. I still try to claim it as my own. When you look at verse number 18, what did Hannah do? She totally gave her problem to God. To the point that it says, she went her way, and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had such a belief that God had heard her, and in the words of the man of God who said, God grant you that request, that when she arose from kneeling down and giving out this prayer, she believed 100% that God now was in control of that problem. That God was the one that was going to work, and that God would do what the prophet had said, what Eli had said. Now, to me, that's amazing, because she went from down on the floor, devastated, and totally looking like she wasn't even in her right mind, to now standing up, looking normal, eating, and just happy and ready to go on with life. What made the difference in Hannah at that moment? It was the fact that she knew that God had heard her. It was the fact that she knew that God could answer that prayer. And it was the fact that she knew that God loved her enough that he could definitely do it. Now, we don't always know that we're going to get everything that we pray for. Because sometimes it's not what is best for us, and God understands that. But with Hannah, with this prayer, God recognized the desire of her heart and the faithfulness of her soul and said, I'm going to grant that request. You go down to verse number 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. When you look at this, the name Samuel in Hebrew actually means God has heard. And she recognized that God was answering that prayer request and that God was changing the very circumstances of her life and the condition of her life. And God was granting her a release from that torment that she had faced for all of those years. When you look at this, the Bible then says that Hannah kept her promise and her vow to the Lord. She had promised that she would take Samuel and she would give him back to the Lord, that he would be lent to the Lord for his entire life. And Hannah kept that promise. When you go through, it says, and the man Elkanah in his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And then when you go over to verse number 24, it says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. She came and she fulfilled that vow that she had made. She gave back to the Lord the one thing that her soul desired, and that was that son. But fulfilling her vow, she says, I'm going to keep that commitment. When you go into chapter 2, we find another prayer of Hannah where she goes through and praises and rejoices in the Lord for what he has done. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. When you look at this, Hannah realized that this was a time for her to rejoice. And she had a song in her heart and praise on her lips for what God had done for her. When you look at this, it brought about a sense of peace and fulfillment in her life. But it also brought about that commitment back to God and recognizing how gracious God had been to grant her desire. That God had done exactly what she had asked him for. And now her heart is overflowing with that thankfulness. Have you ever gone into a time of prayer and you're telling the Lord all the things that the Lord needs to do? And you're laying out all the things, you know, Lord, I'm looking for this and I like to see this happen and be with this situation. And I know that the scripture says we're supposed to thank and praise the Lord. But sometimes the needs and the trials and the circumstances of life bring me to a point that what do? I am pouring out my thoughts and my heart to the Lord, but it's more about what I'm desiring and what I need to see happen and what I'm expecting from God rather than praising Him for who He is and for what He has done and all the benefits and the mercies that are new every morning that He puts and gives in my life. And this is something Hannah did not forget. When she goes through here, she says, I'm rejoicing in God who's exalted my horn. My mouth is enlarged. I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none so holy as the Lord. And she recognizes the truth that God needed to be praised and He needed to be thanked, not just because of what He had done in giving her Eli, but in the fact of who He is, that He is her God, that He is her salvation, that He is the reason that she goes and worships every year and goes up and gives that yearly sacrifice. She's the reason, He is the reason that she lives. And she recognized that and she was thankful and sang a song of rejoicing to God over exactly what He had done. She prays again and praises God for that answer to her prayer. And as you look at this, the amazing part wasn't just that song of rejoicing, but a soul of commitment. I could imagine that Hannah at this point goes, wow, that was so amazing. Look what God did. I have a son. I'm going to watch him grow up. I'm going to keep him with me. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to teach him all these things. We're going to have a wonderful life. Hannah didn't go back on her vow that she had made to the Lord. And she brought Samuel back to the temple and presented him to Eli and said, I prayed for this boy. God gave him to me. And now he's here to serve God. And when you look at the end of chapter 1, and that's verse number, is that 28? Yeah, that's 28. There we go. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And look at that last statement. And it says, and he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah had already done her job in preparing Samuel so that when they came back to the temple, Samuel knew exactly what to do. When they got there, he worshipped the Lord. He was already there, ready to do the purpose and the plan of God for his life. Why? Because mom had taught him what was expected. Mom had taught him already at that young age to have a personal relationship with the God, his creator, with the God of his salvation, with the God of Israel. She had already taught him that aspect in his life to be committed and to serve just like she did. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 18. Chapter 2 and verse number 18. And it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. He was there serving God, ministering to the Lord, ministering to Eli, and serving exactly like she had planned. Look at verse number 19. It says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed to this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. When you look at this, what did God do? God looked at the sacrifice that Hannah was making and giving her son back to him. And God was gracious and loving enough that he said, listen, Hannah, let me do something special for you. And she had three more sons and two daughters. Now, talking about having your basket full, that's six kids. Now, I know that's not unheard of, but I have four, and, you know, that's plenty for me. They keep me plenty busy. She had six. So the Lord blessed her and blessed her husband. Why? Because of that commitment that she made to do exactly what God had told her to do. You know, we don't always know how God will answer. And we don't always know when God will answer. When Hannah laid out her heart before the Lord there in the temple, she didn't know that Eli was watching. She didn't know that Eli was going to bless the prayer that she was making. She didn't know if God was going to answer the desire of her heart to give her a son. She had been years already struggling with this whole situation and trying to determine what was best and what was needed and how to get through it. And yet in God's time and in God's way, he met that need. And he brought her through those circumstances that she thought was overwhelming. And through those times where she went through the derision of Peninnah and the trouble and the hurt and everything that attacked her heart and her mind and her soul. And God put an end to all that and brought her through it. And that's the amazing thing, is we have a God who wants to answer. He is a God who knows what is best for us. He is a God that hears us and always wants to do what will help us in every situation. You know, when you look at this, there's a lot of things that you can pull out as far as application that God wants to do in our lives. You know, think about this. Hannah prayed when she was in trouble. Are there times when I get into trouble and I need to pray more? Yes, definitely so. And maybe my prayer life is one area that I need to focus more on, that I need to draw more time in my day into. Because there are things that I can't handle, but I have a God who can. The amazing fact that God heard her prayer. You know, we live in a world with billions of people on it, and yet God hears every prayer. God hears the prayer of his people, and God wants to hear us when we pray. He wants us to take the time that is needed for us to pray to him and to give our hearts to him. But he also wants to hear our praise. He wants to hear the thanks for who he is and what he does. And that's something I need to do more of. I need to put that more into my prayer life. Why? Because God is worthy. In the book of Revelation, when we come to Revelation chapter 4, and the beasts and the angels and everybody falls down before the throne, and what do they say? He is worthy to receive glory and praise and honor because he is the Lamb that was slain. For no other reason I should be able to come before my God and thank him for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross, and for the salvation that he freely gives. But then the aspect of working in my life day after day, and the fact that he's always there, and he promises never to leave us nor forsake us. How amazing is that fact? And then just like Hannah, that should help me to remain committed and steadfast to my Lord. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that would say, you know, that Christianity is a crutch and it's all these other things, and they want to cast doubt on the fact of living a Christian life and being true to God and the relationship that we can have with God. But he's not a crutch. He's not just something that we can put aside that we are only supposed to bring out when we're in trouble or circumstances demand it. He is our God with a relationship as a father to a child who wants to be part of what we do every day. And that part I need to come back and remember. That I have a God that wants that relationship where he's involved in everything that I do. Every thought, every word, every action, every decision. And I lay those out before him and say, God, here they are. Help me today with the decisions that I need to make. Help me today with the aspects of my life that I need you to be in control of and for you to do more. A lot of times we have such a powerful resource in prayer, but we don't always take advantage of it. We don't always take the time to take a real look at prayer and incorporate it into our lives. We have a God that wants to be a part, and yet he's not going to force himself upon us. Revelation 3 says he stands at the door and knocks, and if any man will open the door, it's up to us to open our lives to God and to tell him that we want him to be a part, that we want him to be in control, that we want him to be the God of our life. How seriously do we take our prayer life? Do we take the time to be committed to pray? Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please. And we'll have a word of prayer. And looking at Hannah, it's amazing to see her commitment to God, even in the midst of years of trouble and circumstances that she didn't feel like she would ever get the best of, that she would always be held underneath. And yet God answered, and God worked, and God moved, and God did an amazing thing in her life to bring about a victory that she never expected. But it all came back to her commitment to prayer, her commitment to her God, and her service to what he wanted her to do and be in her life. And then we see the life of Samuel, a young man that God used as his prophet and his priest, but it came through the influence of a godly mother who knew how to pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Dear Lord, help us as we go through each day to recognize the truth that we have a powerful asset that you've given us, the power of prayer. Dear Lord, help us to be committed in our lives, committed in our service, but most of all that we would be committed to pray and to make you a part of our lives on a daily basis. And then as you work and as you guide, to praise and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.